Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the Buckets and Tea NBA show. I'm your host, Katherine Eichers. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. Joining me, he is currently composing an email, it looks like. But you know him, you love him. It's Oren Weisfeld. How you doing, buddy?
Hey. I wasn't composing. I was actually doing some last minute research for the pod, just trying to get my tabs in order here. My playoff bracket in order, but I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here again. Excited for the Hottie Highlight and everything that comes with it.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Although you didn't send me a Hottie Highlight on Instagram.
I did. I sent you two, but I only sent it to you like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we'll revisit it. We'll visit it like when we get there. And then you can be surprised by your options this week. First of all, Oren, before we get started, how is the book coming along?
It's coming along. It's going well. I had a couple interviews this morning. Gordy Herbert, who head coach of the German national team. People know him from there. And he used to coach for Canada's team too. And it's fun. Every day I'm pretty much doing two or three interviews and just getting to know a lot of the history and hear all these cool stories. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun and excited to share it with the world. It was fun the other night when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander hit a game winner. And then the next night, Jamal Murray hit the buzzer beater and everyone was talking about Paris and the backcourt. And I was like, I love this hype. Build the hype. This is right up my alley. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. If anybody doesn't know, Oren is writing a book about Canada's basketball team. Is it like it's the whole history of like Canada basketball, or is it this particular Olympic team?
Yeah, the last time I was on the pod was actually the day I announced it. So
that's right. I remembered.
A lot has happened since. But yeah, I would say the best way to describe it is it's a book about the history of Canadian basketball told through the lens of the national team and the team that's going to Paris, and Canada basketball. So it'll center around those athletes and the ones who represent Canada now, but it'll tell a larger story about the last 20 years pretty much.
That's amazing. Last we spoke, I was disappointed to hear you were not going to Paris. Has that changed for you at all?
Nothing has changed as of right now. I am planning on going to Vegas for the Canada-USA game, which should be fun. But
okay.
Yeah, I'll keep working on Vegas up to the last minute, but no. And it's not looking good for any of us. People will be disappointed to learn that there will not be a lot of Canadian basketball media in Vegas at large.
Why is that?
It's a good conversation to have off the podcast. But I mean,
fair enough.
In the simplest terms, there's less resources, less money being spent on sports media in Canada these days. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit of an archaic system where if you're a freelancer like myself and you want to go to the Olympics and write for a bunch of outlets, that doesn't exist, that kind of credential. Because the old model where publications used to send their full-time, they're not doing that anymore, but the Olympics haven't caught up on the new model either. So that's where we stand.
All right. Well, that is disappointing. Happy to hear you're going to Vegas though.
Yeah.
And this way, you know, I didn't love the Canada like outfits, like the little Team Canada unit, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That Lululemon collection. Mm-hmm. So at least you don't have to like buy one of those or wear one of those. Do you have any solace in that? Fashion icon Oren Weisfeld?
I wasn't going to wear one of those either way as a journalist. They wouldn't allow that, but...
Oh, I see. Okay.
happy to know that they won't be getting your hottie highlight of the week. That eliminates one option.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does kind of remind me of like the Lady Gaga meat dress. No way. I mean, I don't know. It's like red and white. Like, it's a classic combination. Like, I just don't know how you get it wrong, but whatever. What do I know? What do I know? Everything. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about the playoffs. I wanted to start off this conversation by asking you, what is your biggest, like, pleasant surprise and what is your biggest disappointment so far in this first round?
Okay, yeah. My biggest pleasant surprise would be the way the Minnesota Timberwolves have played. Pleasant because I was kind of on them and predicted them to beat the Suns. So it's not like I'm like floored right now, but pleasant in the sense that I think this is the team best set up to give Denver a challenge. And it's encouraging that they've started the playoffs 2-0 and are looking this good. And Anthony Edwards is looking this good. And, you know, everyone's kind of waiting for this Celtics Nuggets finals, but I don't want that as a hater and also just as someone who roots for the underdogs, right? So I'm looking like who can upset them in each conference, and I think the Timberwolves are the best option in the West for me. And so, yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised that they've come out to such a mature start, considering who this team has been in the last few years. It's just been a very mature start. And it's also enjoyable to watch the Suns' demise as a super team hater. So, as a hater of handsome men like Devin Booker. So, this is just
going well. Are you the one who started the thing where, you know, that guy is getting, like, this, like, toupee thing glued on down onto his head and everyone thinks it's Devin Booker? Have you seen that?
I'm not familiar, no.
Oh. I thought maybe you'd be familiar and that maybe you started it. Maybe you are familiar and you did start it and you're just lying to me right now.
Maybe. Or maybe I just missed this one. I missed this one.
My biggest disappointment was the Phoenix Suns because I feel like, you know, I this was for me before the playoffs started a hard series to call. Like, I actually went into this thinking, like, this series could really go either way. But I was kind of leaning towards Phoenix. They're 0-2 as of this recording. It's pretty brutal. They could even get swept. I mean, like, they just didn't. Like, they looked like they kind of gave up on themselves.
They looked horrible.
Like, it wasn't just that they lost. It was, like, how they're losing. And then, you know, I was just thinking, like, man, like, we are on the verge of having, you know, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Steph out of the playoffs by the first round, you know? And, like, I feel like this whole season has been kind of, like, the marking of the new era in basketball. And, you know, I was thinking about, like, maybe 12 years ago, maybe a bit more than that. It's like, okay, like, Kobe tears his Achilles, that's the end of an era. But then the San Antonio Spurs are still relevant for like a few years later, and then they even win in 2014, I believe. So it's like, it was this thing where it was like, it wasn't like it all ended at once. But I feel like this kind of era, those three players being like, you know, the best of their generation, you know, their sort of like championship runs feel like they're all coming to an end in 1 year. And I feel like that's really like unique and different. And like, for me, like I'm enjoying this new generation a lot, but it's still kind of sad for me. Maybe it just makes me feel old. I don't know. But like, it's kind of wild to me how it all feels like it's happening sort of at once. Now, I know some people will be like, oh, I saw this coming last year, blah, blah, blah. And that might be true, but it's like the Lakers were still in the Western Conference Finals. You know what I mean? Like Golden State, Phoenix, they were both in the second round. Like it wasn't like they weren't making real playoff pushes. But this year, none of these teams are. And I'm finding that to be a bit surprising, a bit sad, but also a bit inevitable. And I did enjoy the Anthony Edwards kind of jawing at Durant and Durant smiling back at him. That really felt like a passing of the baton type moment in a weird way.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think for me, I'll have to wait until a year or two from now to look back and see if in hindsight you were right and this was the year where it just all completely flipped, or if a year from now we see teams like the Lakers and the Warriors use the assets, the future picks they have, to actually give Steph and LeBron one last real chance. Because for me, it's frustrating too, and it's sad, but part of that frustration for me comes from the fact that these guys have given like everything to the game and everything, in Steph's case, to the franchise he's with. And it doesn't feel like that's been returned, in the sense of like, why is Jonathan Kuminga still on this team? Like, can we get some guys in the door who can actually help Steph win in the next year or two? Like, nothing else should matter for your franchise. Give Steph, give LeBron a couple final kicks at the can with all you have. The two timeline BS I've talked about a million times, but it's not real. And that's like a part of the frustration for me, is just like, these guys should have better teams around them, and their teams have the assets to put better teams around them, but they haven't done it.
I agree. Like in the Warriors case, like look at how well they drafted last year to have Brandon Podziemski, who was a late first round, and then Trayce Jackson-Davis, who was a second round pick, be a good enough center to be in their starting lineup. I mean, those seem like very tradable, you know, I hate to use the term assets, but you know, they are. And yeah, like you could probably get really good players in return. Now you might think like, oh, but their futures are very bright. But yeah, I agree. You're playing for now. You're not really playing for the future. I think they're going to have a very interesting offseason. And I do hope that they have a real, like you said, a real next run at this. But it feels like we're in this era where if you don't have like a really good versatile center, I don't know how you get past these great teams, right? Like, I don't know how you get past Denver without, and I'm not saying you have to have a Jokic type player, but you need to have an elite enough defender. You know what I mean? To at least slow him down even a little bit, because he's averaging like 30 points and 10 rebounds and five. I'm making that up. But it's close to that. It's like he's averaging a double-double for sure in these playoffs. I think he's getting 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists, or somewhere close to that. I mean, I just don't know how you beat that without an elite defender at that position.
Mm-hmm. But those teams do have that still. Like the Warriors have Draymond Green, and the Lakers have Anthony Davis. So...
But that, neither of those teams could get past Denver last year.
No, but that's what I mean. That's why it's disappointing. The supporting cast around those guys isn't good enough, but they have that outline of a team that could challenge them if they had gone a bit more all in, I think. Especially Steph, the way he's drawn like Jokic out in past series and made life so hard for him. Like, that's a matchup nightmare for Jokic, I think, and we've just never seen a good enough Warriors team in these last couple of years, and the last time they won the championship.
I agree. I don't want to spend sorry, I still have a cold, for anybody who is a regular of this podcast, which I appreciate you. I do have my Fisherman's Friends this time on standby. I finished these honeybee lozenges. I've like, this is like my third week, I think, maybe even fourth week. Yeah. It's crazy. I went to the doctor's
right now too. I'm sick and tired of this weather. The weather's changing. That's what.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are getting sick. And then like I went to the walk-in today because I was like, man, this is like my third going on fourth week feeling this way. And then they were just like, well, I don't hear anything in your lungs. And I'm like, I think I would know if I had pneumonia by now. Like, it's not that. It's just a cough. Anyway, I apologize if I cough on this podcast. I'm going to try really hard not to. Okay, my biggest pleasant surprise is the fact that the Celtics are not going to sweep the Heat. I'm a Celtics hater. I don't care. I don't think that's going to bother anyone who listens to this show. I was really, really happy that Miami got one win. Now, with that being said, I would not be surprised if Miami lost the next three. I do think that Boston will make some adjustments. Porzingis had a bad game. He'll have to bounce back. I don't want him to bounce back, but I think he will. And they were also shooting Lights Out. And I don't know if they'll have another game like that, but I'm at least appreciating that the Heat are a little bit in the Celtics' head a bit. I enjoyed the trolling by Jimmy Butler, even though he wasn't playing. And I don't know if you did you see the trolling by Jimmy Butler? You did. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you did. Yeah. So you do see some of these.
I'm online.
You do see some of these, Oren. Yeah, I think that was my pleasant surprise so far. Yeah. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, that was going to be my biggest disappointment, but I guess I read it wrong because I'm also happy about it. But yeah, I just mean the Celtics are a disappointment given that.
Yes.
That game. But yeah, I would love to see their downfall, rooting for their downfall. So excited about it. And yeah, also just like hopefully that'll continue because there's a couple duds in the East. So many duds. Yeah.
So many.
So I'm hoping for a good
half series. These teams shouldn't even be in the playoffs, yeah. Honestly.
The only good series in the East is Knicks Sixers.
Yeah.
Like that's the only really good one that I need to watch like every game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the West is like, oh, I gotta watch all these. These are great.
Yeah, every episode I'm saying we need to abolish the conferences when it comes to the playoffs and just have the top 16 because I'm really over it. There was a 10-game differential between the 10 in the West and the 10 in the East. Damn. It's too much.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Pascal Siakam because I know everybody listening to this has been screaming that Pascal Siakam is, you know, maybe the biggest pleasant surprise, but hello, we shouldn't be so surprised that Pascal is doing so well so far. I asked you, Oren, is he the MVP of the playoffs so far? I also asked you that, you know, many Raptors fans were expressing on social media, especially after the game 2 win that Indiana had over the Bucks, that like people were expressing, you know, different degrees of remorse/see, I told you so, we should not have traded Siakam. Were you involved in any of those conversations at all? I shout out to Freddie Rivas, our friend. I told him that his account was a Siakam burner account, which was fun for us. Oren, what is your take on Siakam doing well in the playoffs so far?
Yeah. I did see the conversation just flooding my timeline a couple of nights ago. I didn't get too heavily involved other than to say, wow, the timeline is so down bad because it was just all the Raptors fans I knew were just like, why can't we get playoff basketball? We should have kept him. No, this is why we shouldn't have kept him. And I mean, I know this is what Twitter is, but I found it all so ridiculous. Like, so we're going to change our mind about this guy after 2 games of the playoffs. Like, first of all, I've always been team keep Siakam. So
yeah,
but also like they traded him and we have to move on. And like, there's nothing that we've seen in the last 2 games that should have changed our opinions on Siakam one way or the other. Like, is he the MVP? Is he having a great playoffs? Yes. Is he also going against a Bucks team that has nobody who can guard him and Giannis is out and injured and it's only been 2 games and they're 1-1? Yes. And is he going to continue to put up 37 points a game through the first and the second and the third round? No. If he does that, then let's have that conversation and say, like, okay, we were wrong about Siakam. The Raptors were wrong about Siakam. They should have built around him. He's a number one option. But no, like, it's been 2 games and he's going against a favorable matchup. So with all that being said, because that is the reality, I still think like, yeah, they should have kept Siakam. He was a great Raptor. They got a terrible return for him. All that stuff was just being rehashed on the timeline. But but yeah, like nothing that has happened in the playoffs, I don't think should reignite this conversation because to me, we haven't learned anything new about Pascal Siakam. He's always been a good playoff guy, you know, but he's also always had limitations that he still has.
Yeah. I mean, look, like I was never pro blow the team up, but I think I got to a point earlier this season where I was like, okay, enough's enough already. Like if we're going to do this, let's do this already. Mm-hmm. you know, we did get a terrible return, which we're actually going to talk about a little more in our Raptors homer moment here. But yeah, I mean, I'm just honestly, the way I see it now is I'm really happy for Pascal. I'm happy that he has this fresh start. I think he needed one. If we're all being honest with ourselves, I think he needed a bit of a fresh start. Not that he was playing so poorly, but I honestly think the fans here got really toxic around Pascal. And I think even just for that reason alone, not listeners of this podcast, okay, just other fans in general, you know what I mean? And now it's like we're seeing him thrive. And it's like, I feel like I love our championship team so much that I want to, if they're not going to win here, I want to see them win elsewhere, which makes the 76ers-Knicks series kind of interesting. But yeah, like I just want to see him do well. And I'm happy that he is in a winning situation. I mean, he is facing a Giannis-less Bucks, let's be real. If Giannis was playing and was 100%, like I do think, you know, we probably, do we get the 35 Dame points in the first half? Do we get reverse Dame time where he goes off in the first half and zero in the second? I don't know. But I'm happy for him in Indiana. I really hope that Tyrese Halliburton can, like, I don't know, heal in the offseason and become who he was at the start of the season, because he hasn't been the same since his hamstring injury. But I like this Pacers team, and I think, you know, they're another team that will be interesting to see what kind of moves they make in the offseason to continue to build on this. But I think they really have something.
Yeah, no, me too. I agree. Like, he's in a great situation. I don't think they're necessarily going to go very far this year beyond this round, but for the years to come, for the next few years, they're incredibly well set up.
Who would they face in the second round?
The Knicks. I would take the Knicks over.
Yeah, I would too. I was going to say if it was Cleveland or, you know, that would be.
Right.
Actually, you know what? No one's watching the Cleveland Orlando series. I know that. We all know that. Mm-hmm. But I really did think Orlando would put up a bigger fight. They've been essentially blown out of the first two games.
Yeah. Yeah. They've looked bad. But real quick on Pascal. OG also happy for him. I mean, he's in the best situation possible for him too.
Yes.
The only thing that the whole dialogue has maybe taught me is that, like, Raptors fans are less patient than maybe we're giving them credit for. Like, yeah, we're going to keep going to games and filling out Scotiabank and watching the team. But every time the playoffs roll around, that's when you really see, like, the mood of a fan base. And this is our second year without the playoffs in a row. And it's just like, okay, you see a little bit of frustration. You see your team, you see that desire to have your team back in the playoffs. And, you know, Masai is like preaching patience, but if this goes on for another year or two, I can see the patience really losing out if this is already what's happening when Pascal has two good games.
That's a great point, because I believe Masai said in his postseason press conference that this rebuild was going to take 3 to 6 years.
No, he didn't say like that straight up. He said like these things usually take 3 to 6 years. I don't want it to take 6 years, but we'll see kind of thing.
All right. So he didn't say, okay, well, thank you for the clarification.
No. But like,
that is, you know.
He was saying like.
No, I said that sarcastically, but I do appreciate the
for other teams, it does take this long. We want to be different, but you have to have patience kind of thing.
Yeah, like, I don't think the Raptors are going to be a playoff team next season. I have no idea what we're going to do in this offseason, and it's too early to say, but I think based on, you know, the leverage or lack of leverage that we have and who we have, I wouldn't anticipate us turning it around that fast. Yeah. Unless we finally make this Kevin Durant trade, huh?
That's funny. I was going to say I'll pitch you a Raptors trade later in the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, pitch me the wildest trade. Okay, I also want to talk to you about this Knicks 76ers series, particularly, you know, everybody I assume saw this wild game 2 finish where Brunson and then Dante DiVincenzo scored three-pointers back-to-back off a steal. Philadelphia tried to call a timeout. They didn't get it. Maxey was fouled. He didn't get it. And the Knicks go on to win this game. Then the NBA releases their, post-game report. And, you know, I saw that, you know, okay, yes, they tried to call a timeout. They didn't get a timeout, blah, blah, blah. But reading this article, there's a total of 5 calls in the last minute 15 of this game that should have gone Philadelphia's way and didn't go their way. That's bad. Like, I've heard a lot of people be like, yeah, you know, Nick Nurse, he wasn't as aggressive as he could have been calling this timeout, blah, blah, blah. But the report, this is actually, like, I actually really enjoyed the way this was phrased. It says, with 27.2 seconds remaining, quote, an attempt to call a timeout by Coach Nurse during this play is neither recognized nor guaranteed by the officials. This is something Nurse himself grumbled about after game 2. I just love the use of the word grumbled. And then Nick Nurse says, I called timeout. The referee looked right at me and ignored me. Tyrese Maxey got the ball. I called timeout again. He ignored me again. Then the melee started. Yeah. He referred to it as a melee, which I found that quite humorous. But a total of 5 calls. I mean, I think we enjoy this because we all love this Knicks team. They're very likable. I think more people generally are rooting for the Knicks than the 76ers. But if you were on the other side of this, like if this was your team, oh my God, that's frustrating. So what do you think of these like post-game reports where the NBA actually states which calls the referees get wrong? Like, it's not like, you know, they're not going to replay the game. They're not going to get some sort of advantage given to them the following game. Like there's not like, okay, you get an extra timeout because the refs missed a total of 5 calls the previous game or something like that. So it's like, what good does this do other than add frustration and or glee to various fans?
Yeah. A couple of things. One, the Sixers did get screwed, but they also participated in their own demise. And so I do think a little bit of this behavior with Nurse and Daryl Morey filing a grievance to the NBA is just loser behavior, to be honest. Like, yeah. Watching that press conference of Nurse, like, gave me PTSD after the game where he was just, like, so frustrated. And then he gives a spiel about how he tried to call a timeout. And then he goes, what else you got? It's like,
is that what he did? I didn't watch it.
Yeah. He's like, what else you got to the media? But he was clearly frustrated. So,
then he took off his 5 chains from under his shirt and put them to the side.
Yeah. Between him and Daryl Morey, I do think this is loser behavior. When you did participate in your own demise, there was so many things that the Sixers did wrong in that game at the end, in addition to the officiating. But in terms of the last 2-minute report, like, I don't like it because you can say it's in the name of transparency, but it's really not, because these calls are so subjective still, even in a situation where you're reviewing it in slow down time. Like, you're still making subjective calls, and you're not within the flow of the game and the context of the game. And I think certain things like officiating can only really, the right and the wrong, take Aaliyah Edwards, for example, right? That was a moving screen, but within the context of that game, should that have been called? No. In a last 2-minute, it's always going to say, yeah, he got the call right. But I just don't think you can actually explain these things in a last 2-minute report the next day, because in the context of a basketball game, everything is so different and everything's so shifting. So yeah, it's transparent, but it's also just like a day later transparent. It's not objective and it never will be. So for that point, it's just kind of pointless. And all it does is it stirs up more tweets about officiating and who got screwed and all that, where that's probably not what the discourse should be about if you're the NBA. So that's kind of where I stand on it, but
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't have a strong solution to this, in that, like, I feel like we do need as much transparency from the refs as possible, especially now in this age of, like, gambling and stuff like that. Like, you know, there was that one clip that went viral of that ref giving Joel Embiid an and one, but he looked so disappointed doing
it. I watched that live. Okay, I watched that live. I saw him do it, and I noted, like, oh, that was an interesting response. But, like, it's just gone too far that now this guy is, like, being, like, scrutinized on social media. Like, there's going to be a million reasons he had that reaction. And now it's just, like, it's insane. I think about this a lot when I'm watching NBA games, and how yesterday I was watching the game, and they panned over to Zion on the bench, and he's fuming. The calls are just going against New Orleans. Mm. He's sitting there, he's just like, so, and I'm just like, man, these guys don't know they're just being filmed right now. It's mm-hmm. so weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like, they do, but they don't.
You know? You don't know at what point the camera's on you. So the whole time you're in arena, you have to act like it. Like, that's not realistic.
Mm-hmm. But that's what they live for in the control room. They want to get those shots. Yeah, I agree. I feel like if we're gonna do these reports and you're gonna admit to, like, 5 calls being wrong, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know what do you do with that? I just don't know. I don't have a solution.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll brainstorm on it more. But as of right now, I just feel like this cannot be working.
Eric Kareen, who covers the Raptors for The Athletic, had a good tweet where he was like, back in my day, the coach of the team that lost would just complain to the press about the refs after the game. And then at the start of the next game, they would get a couple calls go their way, and that was it, you know. Mm. But the system has changed.
That's true. That is true. Okay, we have some end of season awards happening right now. I told you that I don't have much to say about these awards, but figured we should talk about it, maybe gloss over some of these. Tyrese Maxey has already been named Most Improved Player of the Year. And then Sixth Man of the Year went to Naz Reid. That was announced today. There'll be more announced, I guess, over the next coming days. Do you have any thoughts about these awards at all? Are you just as jaded as I am? Do you feel like there's any surprises on here, or anybody who you wish would be more at the top of the pack than maybe they currently are?
Yeah, I guess, like, nitpicks, nothing huge. I think Mazzulla not getting a nod for Coach of the Year surprised me. They have, like, this historically good team by all statistical accounts, but people are like, do it in the playoffs. And they have an objectively stacked roster, so mm-hmm. I get it from that perspective, but it is a bit surprising that he's not on there. Anthony Davis not cracking the Defensive Player of the Year ballot just hurts, but I also do get it. Like, the three guys who are on there are all ridiculous. Maxey winning Most Improved is stupid to me. Because we knew Maxey was really good. Like, it was 2 years ago that Maxey lit up the Raptors in that playoff series. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was 2 years ago. Last year, he had a great year beside Joel Embiid and Harden. And Harden left. And to me, it's just, yeah, he got more opportunity, but he didn't take a massive leap as a player. He just got more opportunity, got the ball in his hands more, and he did well with it, though the Sixers ended up in the play-in. It's not like he was, like, this maestro. Mm-hmm. So I Kobe White, to me, personifies the award a whole lot better. This guy who came out of nowhere to be a borderline, you know, all-star player, mm-hmm. rather than, like, Maxey going from, like, a borderline all-star to an all-star. I don't really like it.
I think, like, these awards are so narrative driven, which we all know. And I think him taking over James Harden and, like, literally losing James Harden and then not skipping a beat.
Yeah, but they did skip a beat, would be my argument. I know Embiid got injured, but they did finish in the playoffs. And to your point, it is narrative driven. They were ahead they were like in the two seat for so long, and Maxi, I feel like, already got the MIP at that point, mm-hmm. that when they slid back to the play-in, people had already made up their mind. But like,
mm-hmm.
the team struggled with him when Embiid wasn't there a lot.
You're right. You're right. I have no counter to that. Yeah. Who's your most defensive player of the year? Is it Rudy Gobert again, or are you Team Wemby? Not even including Bam Adebayo. This is a real Eastern Conference hater podcast.
This week. Yeah. I guess I would go Rudy. I'll go Rudy. I'll play it safe.
Okay. I mean, I think he's going to win. But I'm very pro Victor, and I think this award is going to be his for years to come. Okay, let's move on. I think a lot of these are pretty predictable this year. I think Jokic is going to get MVP. Mm-hmm. I think let's just kind of go through the list here. Clutch player of the year, low key, who cares?
Watch.
Rookie of the year, that's going to be Wemby. And then coach of the year, that'll be Mark Dagnall.
Dagnall. Yeah.
It sounds like Genya. Like when you...
Welcome. Genya. Yeah. Or is it... What do they say? What does it mean? Hello or congratulations?
I think it means like winner.
Winner. Genya. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good. That's a good basketball name. Yeah. Okay, I'm being very silly here. Let's move on to some Raptors news. Oren, I'm confused by this. I will tell you why. I'm going to ask you to help me explain this to our audience. So essentially, the Raptors have landed the 19th pick in the NBA draft after a tiebreaker that didn't necessarily go in our favor. Now, what I'm confused by this is I didn't know a draft lottery occurred. Do they do like the deeper picks and then do like the top 10 as like a televised thing, or like what is going on with this? Also, this is essentially the pick that we got from the Pacers for Siakam. This is not the San Antonio pick. Very confused by this. Toronto still has a chance for a top six pick. That's May 12th, the lottery.
Yeah,
but I didn't realize that these first picks would already be set. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I was confused by. Yeah.
So the televised lottery on May 12th, that's only for the bottom 14 teams in the league. So the non-playoff teams are the lottery teams, and that's for the number one pick and so on. This is for all the teams in the league 1-30 that have the exact same record. They have to figure out where they go in either the lottery odds or in the draft order in this case. So they flip a coin. So four teams, I think, were tied with the same record. The Pacers, right? The Magic, whoever else it was. So they flipped coins and the Pacers ended up going back to 19 and the Raptors have their pick. So that's that. And then the thing on May 12th is just for the top 14, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Raptors got unlucky. Could have picked 16th, picked 19th instead.
I don't know if in this draft there's going to be a massive difference between 16 and 19. Like, I think reading the news, like they made, maybe that's just the news's job to make it seem like, oh, this was so unlucky. Well, but it kind of just felt like, eh.
Yeah, I don't think there ever is a big difference, but it's, to me, it's more about who's picking in front of you. The Magic are going to pick right before the Raptors, which I think kind of sucks because they have similar front offices. You know, Jeff Weltman used to be with Masai Ujiri in the Raptors. So, and they draft similar type of players, I think, and they have a good track record. So that kind of sucks.
Mm.
But the type of players in that range, yeah, it's going to be like a very similar 16 to 19 is going to be a similar type.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it matters.
You know, we'll have our draft party.
What matters is the draft party, like where the Raptors, whether they get their pick or don't keep their pick this year. That's the real big one.
Yeah, that's the big one. But, you know, whatever happens, like, we'll have our draft party thing here. And then, you know, they'll take them to the real jerk or something. And then, you know, whatever, they'll introduce them to us with some ice cream. And they'll shake hands with Darko. And then they'll go to Summer League. And then you'll see them in Vegas. And then you can report back to us and let us know.
And then they'll get traded for Kevin Durant. No.
And then they'll get traded for Kevin Durant.
No, no. Here's my trade proposal, though.
Oh, yes, yes.
Basically, I'm looking at these playoffs through the lens of like a trade perspective, and it's like, who's like a buy low candidate? Like, the Raptors aren't gonna like swing like 3 first round picks on a guy because they're just not there. But maybe if there's a buy low candidate, mm-hmm. guy who has real potential, but for one reason or another, his team is just out on him. To me, the obvious one right now is Brandon Ingram. And he fits an interesting need for the Raptors too, in terms of that kind of wing that they're missing in the starting lineup. But he's also been bad for New Orleans. He was bad for Team USA in the summer. So it's like, he's a hard guy to trust, especially if you're going to want him to basically be like, hey, we need you to improve your defense and like take less shots. Like, it's a bit of a hard sell. I think it's a complicated one, but if the price was like Gary Trent Jr., Bruce Brown and a first round pick in the future. Like, I think the Raptors really got to consider something like that, because that's the kind of swing, risky buy low swing that they should be looking at.
Do you think that the Pelicans are going to fold? Do you think they're going to blow up?
No, I don't think they'll blow it up, but I think they might trade him because Trey Murphy's coming off the bench. He's really taking a big jump. They want him to start. Brandon Ingram and Zion has just never fit as well as people expected it. So I think we could go in a different direction.
I like that. That is a very interesting, sneaky offseason prospect that I feel like people are not talking about. Yeah. But you're right. I like that
a little bit as they lose more and more games.
sorry, that was me swallowing a cough again. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say about the Pelicans, really. I mean, everyone said it, you know, Zion was playing the game of his career, and then he went down with a hamstring injury. We all saw it. It sucked. And CJ McCollum is not who he used to be. I feel like he's somebody that they're going to try and trade for, you know, cents on the dollar, so to speak. They probably will make a few moves. What are you looking up now? Your typing is loud.
Sorry.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
No, nothing.
Okay. Maybe we should have spent more time talking about the NBA playoffs, but we've already reached our hottie highlight of the week. How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel good.
Okay. So, Oren, you have to check your Instagram.
Do you have any last playoff thoughts? I guess just on the topic the Pelicans and how they've been bad. I also would give credit to OKC here, because someone was in my tweets yesterday being like, the Pelicans without Zion aren't even a playoff team, because I was trying to give OKC credit. And I'm like, that's true, but also the Heat without Jimmy aren't a playoff team. And they just beat the Celtics. Yep. So you have to take care of your business. And not all teams do. And the Thunder are like this young team that people didn't really know if they would take care of their business. And they really have so far. So, yeah, I've been impressed with them so far. And I think they're a force to be reckoned with even this year, because they haven't even made their biggest adjustment, which is stop playing Josh Giddey, which is going to happen, I guarantee, as soon as they run into some trouble. He's just not one of their best players, but they keep starting him. So that will happen, and they'll be even better. So, the Thunder have been good.
I'm really excited to see the Thunder go deep into these playoffs. I also, other things of note. The Clippers, they try to bring back Kawhi. He did not look good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen with them. I think they that's a team that has a lot of question marks around it. Dallas looks really, really good. I mean, they've been playing really well leading up to the end of the season. And now I think, you know, they're, you know, people are talking about like Luka's like defensive effort has hit another level in these playoffs so far. And, you know, we'll see how far they can go. I mean, how does it, wait, do you have the bracket in front of you? How does it match up next round? Like, would it be like Dallas and Minnesota, or is it?
No, it would be Dallas and the Thunder.
That's wild. That's going to be a wild series.
Yeah, yeah. But so is Timberwolves Nuggets. Those are going to be both really good series.
Like, I can't, but like that, like, think about that. That is the next round. That is going to be the most.
It's going to be a movie.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be, God, I hate the Eastern Conference this year. I just do. The Eastern Conference sucks.
Stinks.
Oh my God. Anyway, that's all I really have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't got much else either. It's only been two games.
Okay, so is it hottie highlight time?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so, and I started giving people a choice. That's what I'm doing. To me this week, I have to say, I feel like the choice is very obvious, but yeah. I wanted to keep this thing going for as long as I can. So the choice is Scotty Barnes, karaoke in Cancun, or is it Grady Dick with a new lime green sports car? And I'm saying sports car because I don't know cars.
Yeah, I keep seeing comments that are saying the scat. This car is apparently called a scat. I don't know. I don't know cars either, though.
I don't know.
I gotta say, like, I'm not... I love Grady being so himself with this, you know, and just like out of the box, shining, you know, showman. But lime green is like one of my least favorite colors. So personally, I just can't get behind it. I painted my room this color when I was young for some reason.
Wow. Fashion icon, Oren Weisfeld.
In hindsight, this is a demented choice. Like, imagine waking up to that every day.
I also went through a green phase like this. I had two walls of my bedroom, not quite, yeah, close to a lime green, and the other two like purple.
Oh, gross.
I know.
Yeah. You get older and you realize like the interior of your house should be like light colors for the most part.
Yeah, like, I mean, you could see my background. I'm a very colorful person. I like getting getting a gray couch was like actually really hard for me because it's almost like too neutral. Mm-hmm. But I realized I have too many other things that like the couch mm-hmm. can be neutral, and I'm actually very happy with that choice. But that was a very adult choice of me, for me. Okay, so we're going with Scotty. Is that correct?
Go with Scotty.
Of course, this is the obvious hottie highlight of the week. Scotty Barnes, karaoke in Cancun. He took the "you're off to Cancun" saying literally. Okay, he literally went to Cancun.
Yeah, that's true. Like
in the off season.
He could have been anywhere in the world right now.
Yes, he could be anywhere in the world, but he chose Cancun, and he's living his best life, and he's performing in front of many spectators who are cheering him on. Somebody's weirdly flexing, it looks like, but maybe they're not. Like, you can see this giant forearm do this. It's very strange. Anyway, Grady Dick, happy for him to have a new car. He also is posing with a fish, just very tender behavior. You know, look at me with my car. Look at me with a fish. This is, you know, but that's the phase in life that that he's in. This is who he is.
Yeah. But no, I like it because he's just having fun. He's still a young guy. Yeah, I'm in
the NBA, he's like 19 or something. Like he's
yeah, but it's like he's in the NBA, but he's still able to like, I feel like a lot of guys when they get there, they want to be to themselves and not go out in public and stuff like that because the lifestyle wears on you. And I actually do appreciate that Scotty is still just like living his best life, not really caring. Like LeBron, you would never see LeBron just go to a karaoke bar, do karaoke. So Scotty's still living his best life and having a good summer, I hope. And it bodes well, you know, for him to come back in the fall and, have a big year. The Raptors could be in the playoffs next year. When, you know, to get in the play-in, squeak through.
Not only does the Eastern, I said this, I think a couple episodes ago, not only is the Eastern Conference bad, it's about to get worse because Atlanta might blow up, Chicago might blow up. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? Well, it's going to get worse. I think we might be a play-in team next year, whether we want to be or not.
That's interesting. And also, like, Donovan Mitchell might leave the Cavs.
Yes, that's Bucks another
old.
One.
The Bucks are old.
The Bucks are old. The Bucks, who knows what the Bucks is gonna what they're gonna do in this offseason.
It's a good point.
Yeah, they're about the Eastern Conference could very easily get even worse. Oren, before we go, what is your go-to karaoke song? Okay, you're in Cancun, you're with Scotty Barnes. He's like, come on, Oren, you gotta do a song. Either with let's do this. Let's say you have to do a song on your own, but then also Scotty's like, we gotta duet. What is it gonna be?
I like last time I did karaoke, I did some Taylor Swift. I don't know if you're a Swiftie. I'm not a Swiftie, but like I used to like her when I was young, and I've realized that she's the best karaoke person because everyone knows every song of hers. Mm-hmm. So did Romeo and Juliet. That is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know what song you're talking about.
We were both young. I was throwing. Yeah, that one.
So, I should have smiled like that. I should have just been like, keep going.
Right now that's my top one. I actually did a duet with Will Liu of that song, and it went really well. So
I'm okay.
Going T Swift for the time being, but it's always changing. Like Adele is up there a lot of times. Like Set Fire to the Rain, that used to always be my choice.
Yes.
For a single one. Duets? I don't know a whole lot of duets. How about you?
So my go-to is usually like a Britney Spears song. Mm-hmm. So it's usually like Oops, I Did It Again or something like that. I feel like, you know, there is an age gap with us, but I feel like when I do karaoke, that does get the crowd going. Mm-hmm. I also really like doing Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. That's also a really fun karaoke song. And then duet, like if I'm in Cancun, and Scotty Barnes is like, Catherine, like, we got to do a song together. I'd probably do like a Ja Rule Ashanti song. I think that would be really fun. I don't know which one, but something Ja Rule Ashanti, I think, is what my go-to would be.
Yeah, fair enough. I think for me, rap, hip-hop songs, R&B songs, they always sound like a great idea. And then when you get up there, it's just like, oh, God.
Oh, I wouldn't rap.
Okay.
For the record, I'm not Ja Rule in this scenario. Fair enough.
Yeah, because
I shouldn't assume Scotty can rap, but this is karaoke level rapping. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are my choices. Maybe, but you know what? Like, maybe Scotty Barnes. I would not be surprised if Scotty Barnes is a Swiftie. No, I think he might be more on the money with this.
For sure.
He's also so young.
He is really young. Yeah. I feel like a Rihanna Drake, that could get it going too. Like,
yes.
One of those songs, like a Work or something, you know.
Yes.
Like yeah. I'd do that with I'll be Rihanna. I'll take one for the team with Scotty. He wants to be Drake, he could be Drake.
Yeah. That's perfect. That is the perfect answer. Yeah. And it fits. Yeah. Yeah. That would be a really good, like, Cancun vibe, karaoke song. Well done. Mm-hmm. Oren, thank you so much for joining me. Let us know, what you're up to, besides the book, and, where we can find you on the internets.
All right. Well, my life's really boring these days. I just write in the book every day. It's really, but yeah, I've started like planning so far and ahead these days, which I never used to do. Like off day, Sunday, maybe go to the island, you know, just because I'm like, I need a schedule ahead of time. Now that's the life I'm living. Adulthood is what you have to look forward to.
Are you checking out the cherry blossoms this year?
No, there's some like near me, but I'm not gonna go to Hyde Park. I don't have any plans. I went last year. It was whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we talked about it.
I'm going to the island on Sunday as long as it doesn't rain. So I'm
very excited. Very nice.
But yeah, I am writing a book about the growth of Canadian basketball. You can follow me on Twitter at Oren Weisfeld if you want to keep updated with that. And other than that, yeah, I'll be writing every once in a while for Sports and a couple other places. And again, I'll tweet about it if you want to follow me there. But nothing too crazy to look forward to until the book whenever that releases next year.
Okay. Well, sounds good. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for tuning in on YouTube, blah, blah, blah. Like, subscribe, I guess. I said I would try and get better at saying that. But we really genuinely do appreciate it. I just hate asking for things, but I appreciate you all very much. And we'll catch you next week. Bye.